I think we need to start with our meeting, but I just want to make a comment. I'm getting Mr. Mr. Anderson is getting younger and younger, and I've been asking myself questions. Is he too comfortable with you? Why is he getting younger and younger? Look at him. On that note, I invite everybody to the meeting. And DG, I think we need to start with our meeting. I don't know who's going to start with the presentation. Otherwise, I just want to make a report that we had a very good budget vote debate. And we really appreciate that as a portfolio committee, that our debate went very well. It's because we are united. No, it's because we are united. We are here for a common purpose, that is service delivery. And you made my job very easy, and thank you very much for that. Without any waste of time, can I request the DG? There are apologies. First one is from the Honorable Minister, second one from Honorable Dreya, and the third one from Honorable Mungoni. On that note, DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair, Deputy Minister, members of the Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. As instructed by the committee, in terms of the program, we are here to make three presentations, which will be the EPW program progress, and then the next one will be recalling of artisans progress report, and the third one will be on the accessibility program. These presentations, Chair, will be done by different members of my delegation. The first one, which is the Expanded Public Works Program, will be presented by DDG Anderson. Is that the one on the table? Okay.
I think you have a new member here.
It's an
old member. We need to welcome you so that you can feel comfortable. Can I?
Oh, good morning. I think we have got a new member here, and I think it will be proper for us to welcome him and introduce himself so that he can also feel comfortable. Can we get the introduction of the new member as indicated by the secretary? Over to you.
Lady Chair, I'm Mr. Jacob Jeffrey van der Linde, Japi van der Linde. I'm the in Mr. Swati's place from today. It will be his last meeting here with us. He's moving to another portfolio. Mrs. Dreyer can't be here. She's still got the meeting today in Gauteng, so she won't be here. She asked me to say that she wants to be excused from the meeting. So Mrs. Dreyer will be the DA's representatives in future here.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Honorable members, I think it will be proper for me to give Honorable Swate a minute.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Thank you for this for the opportunity, Chairperson. Today is my last day to say goodbye to the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. As Honorable Van Linde has already indicated, that is going to take my position. I'm moving to rural development and land reform. So I'm here today to attend my last meeting and to say goodbye to all members. Thank you very much for the cooperation that you actually showed to me since I've been in this committee. And then I just want to say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Swati. Honorable Swati, on behalf of the committee, though I will give the Deputy Minister the last say, I would like to thank you very much for your cooperation. You worked very, very, very good with us. We worked as a very strong team, and you always indicated to me that we are here on a common purpose, like I always say, on service delivery, and for that I thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the Honorable Swati and I have actually been together for over quite a number of years, because he was also, when I was chairing the Transport Portfolio Committee, he was a member. And I think that, as you've correctly said, Chairperson, he's been a model opposition member of portfolio committees. He's been oppositional when it's required to be oppositional, and our democracy requires that. We don't expect complete agreement, but at the same time, he's always been constructive and has understood that we come from different parties and different perspectives, but at the same time, we've got a common agenda as South Africans. So I think that, but also to welcome the arrival of Jaapie van der Linde, the Honourable van der Linde. Look forward to working with him. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. As I indicated, the presentation on EPW will be done by DDG Henderson. I will hand over to him.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. It is on. Honourable Chair, we're going to get the presentation.
I see that there was a disturbance with the technology. If members agree, we could go through this presentation through the slides that have been printed. Just indicate GDG,
yes,
the slide number every time you change until we come back.
Yes. Thank you, DG. Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members, we refer to slide 26 now. That is a presentation on the Expanded Public Works Programme, and we have been requested to focus in particular on the low capacity municipalities. Now, how we assist them to participate in the EPWP. And the outline of our presentation, we will cover the overview of technical support that we currently provide to implementing bodies, as well as the nature of the projects funded by the integrated grants across the different sectors. We will also look at the measures that we take to ensure that the low-capacity municipalities can get access to the EPWP incentive grant. And then we look at the overview of the municipalities currently accessing now. We have what progress we have made towards getting the full complement of 278 municipalities to get access to the grant. So on slide 27, so in order that these municipalities implement the EPWP, we provide technical support to them, and the main objective of this support is to ensure that we that labor-based technologies will be properly mainstreamed in the creation or in the implementation of the projects.
Sorry, Mr. Anderson, are you on?
I'm coming on to slide 27.
The Deputy Minister doesn't have a cover.
It's the same one, DJ.
The consolidated one.
It was consolidated into two parts. The last part from the
consolidated. It's here. Do you all have copies? Gayla? Honorable Gayla? Do you? Menier?
My responsibility.
Do you have a copy?
I think
you
okay. Tole? Mama? Mwani? Let's continue. Mwanya Mabila, are you settled? Okay. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Honorable DG. Honorable Chair, my apologies. Our apologies for the projection here, but I'm currently on the slide that's a heading that says introduction. That's the slide that I'm currently on. And they said our focus is to provide technical support to the implementing municipalities. And the main objective of the technical support is to ensure that labor-based technologies will be prioritized as projects are implemented so that we can optimize creation of work opportunities. And to that end, we have furthermore introduced what's called an incentive grant that I will elaborate on a little bit later on in the presentation. And then the incentive grant should be noted as this portfolio committee will remember, after input from this committee and other committees in Parliament, we have changed it from a Schedule 8 grant, which was a purely performance-based grant, to a hybrid grant, Schedule 6 and 5 for municipalities and provinces. And this is now a combination of a planning and performance-based grant. That was from the 1st of April 2012. Slide 28 talks about what the technical support entails. And we focus on, I should say the importance for us with regard to the provision of technical support is that once projects had been commissioned already, it's very difficult to change it. Therefore, we have to, in terms of our engagement, we have to start right at the beginning with the identification of projects that can be implemented labor-intensively. So we engage with municipalities to identify the suitable projects and where they can get the biggest bang, so to speak, in terms of creation of work opportunities. We assist them also with setting appropriate targets because we have done an analysis in terms of portfolio of especially infrastructure projects where we can say we can focus on those that will give them most work opportunities. We also assist with the designs and the contract documentation. And as part of our broader developmental approach, we focus on training needs of participants also. Furthermore, we look at the procurement processes, and we want to make sure that these will be aligned when the work is put out on tender, that it will be aligned to the prescripts of a labor-based approach. We, in terms of an enabling environment, we look at contract development and suitable wage rates as per the ministerial determination. We also assist with monitoring and reporting on these projects, and because we would like, obviously, mainstreaming of the an EPWP approach in municipalities, and therefore we assist them with the development of a proper policy. And the reason for that is that we wouldn't like to have every cycle a stop-start approach. That's why we push for an adoption of a policy on the EPWP in municipalities to ensure that there will be continuation. On slide 29, the next slide, I think you're numbering, it says nature of projects funded by the EPWP grant. Initially, the grant focused on the infrastructure sector only. Currently, the type of projects that we have since then, rather, moved beyond the infrastructure sector, and we also have introduced this grant now in the... Thank you very much. Thank you. We are back on the screen. Thank you. We have since then extended the grant to the environment and culture sector, as well as the social sector. In the infrastructure sector, the type of projects that are covered include road maintenance and the maintenance of building, because we know that the low-hanging fruit really is in terms of maintenance, work opportunities, and road maintenance is the section in the infrastructure that can create most work opportunities. We also focus on the low volume roads, construction of low volume roads, and as well as basic services that include water and sewer circulation, sanitation and pipelines. In the environment and culture sector, the type of projects we focus on include tourism and cultural projects, waste management, parks and beautification, as well as sustainable land-based livelihoods that will include working for water, working on fire, working for the coast, wetlands, etc. And the social sector, the programs include obviously social services programs such as home community-based care, health, such as ECD, and then health services programs such as home community-based care, and then community safety programs amongst others. We would like to put to the committee the measures that we have taken to ensure that the low capacity municipalities can access the incentive grant. We have gone on a major drive by holding reorientation workshops on the labor intensive approach. And at these orientation workshops, we train municipal officials in terms of the design, implementation, monitor, and reporting on labor-intensive projects. And these workshops have been held in the Northwest, Western Cape, Gauteng, and Free State provinces. And some of the provinces, more than one session had been held. And this is an ongoing initiative on our side, because we realize that there's often rotation of staff, so we keep on the drive with regard to the to ensure that employment intensive methods will be prioritized in municipalities. In all provinces, we also have gone on major road shows with regard to the integrated grant to explain how it has changed from a Schedule 8 grant to the Schedule 6 and 5 grant. And we cover normally eligibility criteria, the conditions of the grant, and the reporting requirements. To strengthen our monitoring, we also undertake site visits, and these visits have been conducted in all provinces to monitor the EPWP compliance or compliance with the EPWP, and also to provide implementation advice. We have covered thus far a total of 887 projects across the various municipalities, and some of them, the majority of them, were in the infrastructure sector, but more than 360 were in the environment and culture sector. And we go into a lot of detail to ensure that proper records are kept. We have seen during the AG's report also show that municipalities or that many municipalities don't keep proper records, so we focus on number of work opportunities, percentage of work and branding of the EPWP, compliance items such as the attendance registers, employment contracts and payment registered. And then we also focus on the geocoding of these projects, so we will be able to do spatial analysis in terms of the footprint of the program. The next slide just gives the detail across the different the sectors, environment, culture sector, and infrastructure sector, as well as the disaggregation per province of the projects that we have visited, the 887 projects in total. As some of the honourable members will see, it covers the all nine provinces. The next slide just shows the people at work in Eastern Cape Tabankulu, and then the branding that we have put in place also in Lichtenburg Northwest. What measures have we taken to ensure that the low-capacity municipalities can access the grant? We, furthermore, we have appointed service providers to ensure that all 278 municipalities will be in a position to implement project labor intensively. We have grouped provinces into three groups to ensure that they will be covered. We have already made appointments for KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng and Mpumalanga, and as well as Northern Cape, Limpopo and Northwest. And the third group of provinces that will be have currently that was last to be covered, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape and Free State. And with these additional resources, more municipalities will be brought into the fold and will be able to access the incentive grant. In terms of the, our efforts have led us to increase from the support provided to municipalities from 246 to 274 municipalities in the 2013-14 financial year that we are currently in. The additional 28 municipalities that can access the incentive are mainly low-capacity municipalities, and the total incentive grants to municipalities had been disbursed in the previous financial year, 2012-13. The next slide here currently, but it gives an overview of the municipalities that received the incentive grants in the 2012-13 financial year. That's the 246 that I'm talking about. And then it gives those who can access it currently in this financial year 2013-14, which will be the 274 municipalities, and to cover the amount of 610.7 million rand. In terms of the way forward for us, we will continue, as I said, with the reorientation with regard to employment-intensive approaches with labour-based technologies to ensure that municipalities will be able to deliver on the targets that had been set. We will continue the technical support to improve the implementation, and we will push that all municipalities will get into the fold. And the integrated ground workshops, we'll continue to have them so that these municipalities are well aware of the Division of Revenue Act, the conditions that will enable them to access the grant. And we have appointed additional capacity to support municipalities in the Eastern Cape, Free State and the Western Cape. That was the last group of provinces that we needed the technical support for. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Honourable members, should I allow them to continue presenting or we engage with EPWP now? Can I be directed? Wanyamabila?
Chair, can I propose that we engage with EPWP? Anyway?
Okay, thank you very much. Who's the first to kick start? Mr. Anderson, on page 7, you indicated that officials from municipalities were trained on design, implementation, monitoring, and reporting. I just want to find out from you, because last time when we were in Limpopo, we discovered that people were not trained on how to pick up waste management. An issue erupted there that they just pick up anything anyhow without the gloves, and to us it was a concern. The second one is on branding, the very same Limpopo, the branding. I understand that here you might be referring to billboards and whatever, but we raised a concern around the green overalls that were put there, and we said that was not the branding of EPWP. I don't know whether we were mistaken or not, because our understanding was that the branding of EPWP is a bit yellowish. The third one is on the two providers per three provinces. To say, is it working properly if one service provider provides services to KwaZulu-Natal, you see the distance, Gauteng and Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Limpopo and Northwest, how is it working? Can we be clarified on that one? Honourable members, I'm done. Honourable Swate, Sithole, Mama Madlala, Ngwanyamavila, I must first get your name.
Thompson.
From?
From Universal Access Centre.
We can do it after this meeting.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
We're also here representing the disability sector. That might be more pertinent, actually.
Okay, we'll engage with you thereafter.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're not a member.
Thank you.
Okay. Nguane and Matropa, Baba Kela. Swate, Honourable Swate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. my first question is with regard to on page 32 on measures taken to ensure the low capacity municipality access the incentive grant. I actually wanted to know when they were doing this. When they actually discovered that in most areas the issue of labor intensive is not actually observed in other EPWP. So I just want to know what actually, after discovering that, what have they done with regard to that? And the second one is with regard to the provinces. They said that they actually visited all provinces. So I just want to find out if they've actually, the information that they received on the ground, is it the same, or this municipality are actually different? And the last one is with regard to the service providers. If the service providers are, if they find out that the service providers are not actually paying people, the EPWP workers on time, and what actually are they doing if they find that kind of a situation? Thank you.
Robert Stolle, thank you, Robert Sotter.
Thank you, Chairperson. My Chairperson is on page 28. I don't know if it's the same page. On page 28, the last bullet, Chairperson, when they said assisting in streaming EPWP municipalities through assisting in developing EPWP policy. But I want to find out how far with that assistance to policy development. Have they started? Or and the other one, Chairperson, is that one of... on page, what is it, please? On page 31, please, when they were doing roadshow, what I want to find out, after they discovered that there's some eligibility requirement, how far did they, is there any mechanism or system that they put in place to address that one? Because it shows that there is some requirement that they need to help those municipalities. And
sir, I didn't get the you call it?
On page 31, Chair, the last sentence.
Okay, it's covered.
Okay. And the other interpretation is that one of municipality on page 35, where the official, they say the firm will be appointed to complement the officials in Western Cape, Eastern Cape and Free State. Do they have a time frame? When are they going to do it to these provinces? Thank you.
Mama.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question is on the nature of projects. The presenter mentioned that they also include the social sector, but now when coming to visiting, they didn't visit the social sector. And my second question is the relationship between other departments, for instance, like the social sector one, because there are people on the ground working, but they are working on health department, social development. Now, what I want to know, what is the relationship between the EPWP with such departments, culture, you know, environment, especially health? Because we see them visiting people with HIV and AIDS, also people are sick. But now I want to know exactly what is the relationship. Are they communicating with each other? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Nguyen. No, Gwanya Mabila.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to hear, let me start by appreciating the presentation. Only a few clarity-seeking questions. Just to hear about the issue of the data capturers and also the, I don't know whether they were directors or that were appointed in the provinces to assist with regards to the EPWP or they were coordinators. And also a clarity on the issue of the lack of uniformity in the EPWP wage, because that is one also of the concerns that were raised during our oversight visits. Reorientation workshops, since they were done in four provinces, any plan in place to continue with this workshop in other provinces? I was looking at the allocation of grants to provinces, but what came into my mind was the criteria. Can I be assisted? The criteria used to allocate
the funds to provinces. The other challenge that we previously identified was the issue of poor planning. I think it was also in one of the documents, and also the poor reporting. What is the current status with regards to the two issues? While we're doing this roadshow, were you assisting the municipalities who were unable to plan? Okay, I've just seen the other one here on the issue of the poor reporting. As the municipalities were not reporting on time, any intervention that was done. Chairperson, the EPWP summit, I think the summit had some resolutions. To what extent has the department implemented those resolutions of the EPWP summit? Then we have indicated that 274 municipalities are accessing the grant instead of 278, if I'm not mistaken. What about the other four municipalities? Then the last one is on the firms, two firms that were appointed. Can you just get the names of the firms, and also at what cost? Was there any budget to appoint this firm? Because you're planning to appoint another firm to assist in the other provinces. The other one is, I think, my colleague Babiswati has indicated on it. I want you just to check while you're doing this site visit to ensure compliance. Because when we're doing our own site visits, there's a lack of compliance with regards to especially the transfer of skills, because the objectives of EPWP is job creation and skills transfer. So if they compromise the transfer of skills and create jobs, it means that that is not the full implementation of the EPWP. What were your findings then? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ambrong by Mabila. Majopa?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the report. On the minister's turnaround strategy, he indicated that he wants to upscale the EPWP. I want to understand, how does the department make sure that on the alternative method that is being used in social infrastructure to fast-track the service delivery, it does not hinder the labor-intensive as it is planned by the EPWP that the job must be labor-intensive. How do you make sure that you balance it on the fast-tracking of service delivery as well as job creation according to the minimum standard set to say that at least they can work for a minimum of 100 days? And on the same note, I want to check, Honorable Chair, that on the issue of the job creation, which job are they really recording as job creation? If 2 weeks job, you have worked for two weeks or 4 weeks, do they record that as job that has been created? Or they only focus at like a minimum of 6 months upward to say that this is a job, because the main aim of the EPWP is to make a difference in those poor communities that are unskilled, unemployed. And the second one, Chair, is on the issue of the target. I know that EPWP, the designated sector that the EPWP has to focus also is the issue of women, children and people with disability. Always when we get a report, we find that the target, 2% target for people with disabilities is not realized all the time. In one of our oversights, I think it was in Free State, we were told that they are failing to really realize the target because the social development as EPWP is not targeting those people that are having the grant. And most of the people that are disabled, they are getting the social the grant from the Department of Social Development. I want to check whether the department have looked at that particular policy of the social development to say what does it say, those policies, so that you cannot have the challenge of not meeting the 2% to employ people with disability. On your technical support that you have written, I think your focus is very good, the way one is looking at it. But one is not sure whether it's something that is happening on the ground or it's your plan. It's something that you think it needs to happen, taking from our oversight visit in different provinces, that those things that you have put down here were the challenges in the province, in the provinces. But can you really unpack what do you mean by contractor development and suitable wage rates? Because my understanding is that the EPWP wage is determined by the Minister of Labour to say minimum from 60 rand up to so much, which has created the challenges. Honourable Mabuza has, Ngwenya Mabila has indicated that there were complaints to say that in the deep rural areas where we need to focus, they are being given 60 rand. When you go to the big cities, they get 150, which creates those gaps to say that the those that are rich are getting richer, and those that are poor, you know, the poor subsidizing the rich in the cities. So if those particular matters can be looked at and see how do we take them forward. Maybe at the moment, Chair. Oh, lastly, Chair. The visit, site visit to different provinces. I know that the province of KwaZulu-Natal has got so many municipalities, 61 municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal. But on the visit, I'm not sure, because the covering is the total of 70%, whether was it the, because of the vastness of the province that maybe it only covered 70%, whereas it has got a lot of municipalities than any other provinces, to see that whether this particular EPWP is being implemented, because it will assist us if you have visited a lot and see whether the provinces are following this one. And also in the municipalities, you said you also assist on the procurement and so on. Do you physically go there or deploy somebody, or it's through the training that you have done in the municipalities that you think that now they are empowered to take forward the issue of procuring the EPWP and the specification that was a problem when we're doing the oversight, that when they advertised their tenders, there was no specification that they are saying they are going to implement EPWP, whether there is a change on that one. Thanks.
Thank you. Gayla, and then the Deputy Minister. Honorable Gayla.
I wanted to speak after the Deputy Minister.
And I wanted to
you
speak
wish.
No. After you, do you want to speak? No, no, I can speak.
Okay. No one. As per your agreement. Okay. Okay. Ngwane, Gayla, Baba Magubane, Honorable
Van der Lende.
Oh.
I think Gayla should be the last speaker.
No, Baba. Ngwane.
I say this because of one thing. Gayla, I don't know whether he was a builder or what. Maybe he has got a construction company at the present moment. He never learned about his country.
No. Baba Magubane, okay, take the platform, Baba. Baba Magubane, take the platform.
Oh, I thought you said that. You said that.
No, I'm giving you that.
Thank you.
Slot. Your mic, Baba.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I'm on page 28 on the issue of monitoring of EPW projects. My question is it correct for me to say that this monitoring business is not there? Because in most cases, you find that a lot of corruption is going on, and these people, they call themselves monitoring and evaluation. And yet, I don't know whether they are part of the gang. Number two, on the issue of road maintenance, I doubt as to whether these people are being given tenders are really qualified people, because in most cases, all these roads, they are repaired today, by tomorrow the potholes are there. If the weather changes and it rains, you find that there is a lot of potholes taking place on the road. The construction of the low traffic volume roads. These roads should be, should be built also in the rural areas, because you find that in the rural areas there are few roads which are, are being utilized in the rural areas. Water reticulation and sanitation. In rural areas, for instance, I'm deployed in Tugela Ferry. In Tugela Ferry, the land is almost dry. There is no water. There was reservoirs, trenches were dug, and the pipes were put in, but there is no big dam to supply water in the area. As a result, those reservoirs are not working. They are empty. As a result, they are going to be vandalized because they are standing empty without being used. And in sanitation, the rural areas have got no toilets whatsoever. The sanitation you find in some rural locations, and in some there are no toilets at all. So we need to see to it that these toilets are being supplied all over the country, more especially in the rural people. They need these toilets. Thank you.
My questions are, I want to know, is there a correlation between all the different projects of the different departments? Are there a database that will secure that somebody isn't part of NARISEC, EPWP, and another one? Is the people that's employed, does they rotate, or is it every time the same people? Does EPWP make use of municipalities? Are the funding channeled only through municipalities? Another thing, question is why doesn't government streamline the projects? Like EPWP are responsible for this or in these areas. NARISEC is only on that, because there's the same type of project in the different programs of the departments. So that's my problem. Another thing, does the wage or stipend or what do you call it, does it correlate countrywide? Is it all everywhere the same, or is it in rural areas this and in town and in urban areas this? So that's my concerns at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My first question is around on slide number 13, the departmental processes relating to the budget approvals and issuing of procurement instructions led to delays in the execution of projects. If maybe you can explain to us as to what is it that you have done to rectify that. My other question is also on... I'm using the old one. Sorry. Okay. Now I don't know if I'm still going to find that. Or some projects were cancelled to avoid having many contractors working on the same. Accessibility requirements were incorporated in the existing. If you can clarify that, accessibility requirements were incorporated in existing projects. Also, on slide number 14, the reports to be submitted on monthly basis to top management to monitor progress. On that, to ensure that the necessary intervention are implemented where necessary. I'm not too sure if we still have who monitors, who does this monitoring, and then who does the reporting. Because before you spoke about the data capturers, and it's no longer there. But now I would like to know, because our experience as the portfolio committee, the people out there, they can report whatever that they want you to hear. I still emphasize on the monitoring system, on the project, on the whether the projects do exist or what is the
state. Honorable Nawane, EPWP starts on slide 25. You are far ahead of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. The.
Oh, yeah, asking on the, we have got three presentations
okay.
This morning.
Okay.
So if you can start from slide 25.
Actually, my last question will be around the stipend that was paid to the workers, because our experience was that the urban ones were paid more than the rural ones. That's it. Thanks, I'll sorry for coming late.
Honorable Gaila.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, what we picked up on our visit and spoken to the department as well, some of the issues have been captured. We've got to be clear about that.
They're not audible enough. Can you pull? Yeah.
Some of the issues have been captured. What we've always been complaining about. It's just now a matter of seeing, getting clarity if what is captured is being done. But I'm quite happy with what is captured here. You go to slide 28. It's 28. Most of the issues that we've been complaining about are there. They are captured. So on paper, they are there, Deputy Minister, and we are happy. But one would just would like some few clarities. The assistance with designs of contact documents that are EPW compliant, what type of assistance are you giving to the municipality? Because most of those municipalities have got low capacity. So what type of assistance do you give to them? And then... one small one, you can't capture everything, is that when we visited Limpopo, Deputy Minister, you know there were some of these bowls that were being done through EPWP. Now, if you go to different provinces, you find that in some areas they pay 250,000 per bowl, in some places they pay 120,000 and so. What system can you come up with? Yeah, I mean, it's something new. But we need to have a system. How do we control that price-fixing issue? We need to come up with some sort of a system. How do we control the price-fixing issue, DJ? Then another one that I'm also worried about is agriculture, soil erosion. I don't see anything about that, Deputy Minister. If you can just tell us the involvement of agriculture, what type of projects are, because in soil erosion detriments, a lot of work can be created, you know. That's another. Then also clarity regarding the development of SMEs and skills transfer, development of SMEs, because it's good to give them something, but we need to them to develop to a certain to a higher level. So what systems have you got in place for that, Deputy Minister? And yes, and then of course skills transfer. Then another that I would like to know still is what we've always been talking about, the portals. We're sitting with the entity which is Agrimo, Deputy Minister. They've got all the equipment and stuff for portals. When you engage a municipality, you tell them, look, why don't you get a Agrimo to come and assist you? Because these portals every year, Deputy Minister, in fact, after every rain, they always there. So they're not done properly. So one would like to know, do you, in your assisting the municipality, do you speak to them and say, speak to Agrimo or involve an Agrimo in trying to assist them so that we can get rid of this debt? Or else, one is happy with the presentation. What we've been talking about has been captured. It's just a matter of going to see what's happening on the ground when we visit on the ground. But what we've been saying, Chairperson, let us be fair. It's, we're not here just to criticize. It is captured, and I'm quite happy with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gilland, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you to DDG Henderson. I think let's keep in mind that the topic that we asked the department and specifically the DDG to address was the progress made in assisting low-capacity municipalities to participate in the program, Expanded Works Program, and particularly to access the incentive grant. That's not to say that I think a number of the other issues and questions and matters that have been raised by colleagues, by members, I think are relevant, and personally I'd like to touch on some, but I'd like to focus on the main topic and just make some points about that. So I think the first thing is that what the report is telling us is that since we've shifted the nature of how the incentive grant is provided from simply on performance, which meant that, in other words, unless you could show performance, you couldn't get the grant, which was disqualified and marginalized, undercapacitated, typically rural municipalities. So they were caught in a vicious trap, a vicious cycle. They could never show progress, so they could never access the grant, so they could never get going. And I think that what's encouraging is that the report is telling us that since we've developed a hybrid approach, which is to say you at least you need to be able to show a plan, and you can access the grant on the basis of a relatively doable, implementable plan, but at the same time we need to mix that in. It can't just be a plan. You need to, as you proceed then across the financial year, presumably in three tranches I think it is, you need to begin to show progress, actual implementation as well. So that hybrid is I think, and what we're seeing therefore is a greater take up. So the fact that just 246 municipalities previously were accessing it, since we've changed the formula, we've now got virtually a full house, but there's still I think four missing municipalities. So we've gone up to 274. So I think it's an encouraging indicator that there's an increase of take-up. But DDG, you see, I think that we need also, capturing and monitoring take-up is very important, and it's giving us an encouraging feedback. But I think a number of the questions posed by the honourable members, I think, reflect other issues that we need to be evaluating and monitoring. So what is the baseline So clearly now we're seeing greater take-up, but many of the questions are asking about one, so we're running workshops on labor intensity, but what is the base, are we measuring the impact of those workshops? Do we know if those workshops, not from Monday to Tuesday, will make an impact, but over the course of a year, over the course of a couple of years, will begin to impact and we will see greater labor intensity? So are we measuring that? It would have been useful in the input to have said the labor intensity measured presumably in terms of the amount allocated versus the amount of job opportunities or participants in the program. So it would have been useful to set a baseline. So 2 years ago, 1 year ago, these grants were being accessed in 246 municipalities, but the labor intensity was X. So I think some baseline, which would then give us an indicator of what we're trying to do, is beginning to make an impact or isn't. And it would have been useful to have a report. So we know we're having problems with labor intensity, and it's probably uneven, and in some sectors it's better than others, and in some provinces or some municipalities better than others. So we begin to set baselines. The same point that you're making on Rogila about Gayla, about boreholes. So that would be a second area that would be useful to monitor. What is the impact of the expanded public works program work? Okay, potholes were mended, but is the pothole problem fixed, or were people just patching but not really making a substantive difference? So I think we begin to also begin to evaluate the quality of the work and the impact of the work. I know that's complicated, and you know it's difficult to do completely and all of those things, but I think we need to start to set in place some basic baseline measures. And just to say on that, Honourable Swati, remember in Transwar we had lots of discussions around this. You know, I think it was the Honourable von der Linde who raised this point. Road maintenance, particularly low traffic volume roads, rural roads and so forth, they have huge possibilities for vastly increasing expanded public works program methods and so forth. But it's critical that it shouldn't just concentrate on patching potholes. Often the cause of the potholes is that the drainage systems are not looked after. They're blocked. The verges of the roads are not cleaned and maintained. Often the cause of the pothole is not that it wasn't properly fixed, but the things like rain and so on, and the runoff from the road, or the failure to provide for runoff and so on. I mean, just to give some detail. So, but anyway, I'm straying a little bit out of the main point I'm trying to make, which is that we need to begin to set baselines, one on the labor intensity, so that we know where we are, and are we going forwards, backwards, and where are we going forwards, where are we not making progress, and so on. We need to begin to try to establish baselines on the impact of the work and the cost of the work. Now, there might be good reasons why a boreholes in one place is more expensive than another place. It might have to do with geological features, or you know, any number of things, but or the depth that you have to go to, and so on. But I think we need to start to, as best as possible. I know it's not easy to do this. And then, very lastly, and it's come up in a number of ways from colleagues. We also need to, clearly there's a problem on reporting, because that's what you say. You say that we're spending some time helping the record keeping and reporting processes to be improved. Now, again, what is the baseline? How many are doing reasonably well of these municipalities? How many are not reporting at all or barely reporting, and so forth? So it would be useful to see, again, whether the workshops, outreach programs, all of the things that we're doing, whether they're starting to have an impact, or whether there's some other reason why the reporting is uneven and so forth. And that would relate, I know, to because our colleagues from the disability sector, we've said that the protocols, unfortunately, of portfolio committee meetings is that non-members can't actively participate unless there's, you know,
a formal submission and they've been requested to participate, but obviously one welcomes their presence. But as my colleague next to me has said, one suspects that one of the great weaknesses in reporting is on disability participation. The same might apply also to the impact for people with disability in terms of the quality of the work that we're doing. Is it, you know, whatever. But particularly in terms of participation, and I think that's one aspect of I think the challenges that we've got in terms of accurate record keeping and participation. So I think it would be useful to say, yes, we're doing all of these things. We're going out. We're trying to improve these things. We've had workshops. We've visited X number of projects and so on. But it would be also useful, just so that we can evaluate ourselves, to say the situation as we stand now is the, you know, 40% of municipalities are reporting very well, 12% are doing okay, and whatever. And that's so that when, you know, in a year's time or whatever, we can see that all our efforts are beginning to pay off, or not beginning to pay off, and so on. So those were the critical points that I wanted to raise, hopefully in a constructive way, and to thank the DDG. I think we are seeing progress, but at the same time, you know, we need to also keep ourselves on our toes in improving what we're doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Ms. Anderson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Members, thank you for the questions. I will try to be as concise as possible. There were many questions asked. As a matter of fact, more than 40 questions. That's one thing at least I can say, yes.
And take note that we have got two remaining presentations.
I do. I'm mindful of that, Chair. So I'll run through these as concisely as I possibly can in my response. The training that we're talking about, the first question, it refers to, we have to address it at all levels. On the one hand, we are concerned about the implementation and the lack of skills in municipalities with regard to implement an employment-intensive approach. So we focus, in my presentation, what I was referring to was actually the training of officials to ensure that labor-based methods will be followed. But on the regard to the training of workers, we have a specific program. We have secured funding through qualified education and training. We work with different CETAs to ensure that workers can get training in the appropriate sub-programs. And obviously, where we do become aware of where there's poor training in terms of waste management, the focus there is to ensure that occupational health and safety standards are followed right through consistently, and we would be very, where we become aware of it, we intervene immediately, where it's not followed. So just to put members' minds at ease with regard to that. Branding is important. We consistently work to have the corporate identity of the program. If you want to see the impact of it, it has to be visible, and that's where when there's deviation from corporate branding of the EPWP, we also engage with the implementing bodies, because it doesn't help when you see old green overall wear. Yes. Service providers with regard to there were quite a few questions that dealt with this issue on the technical support provided through the service providers, so I'll try to cover it broadly here now. We have divided the country into three groups. We group the province 3-3-3. And the cost over a period of 3 years amounted to, I think it was 93.4 million, almost 94 million rand over a 3-year period, which means roughly 31 million rand per year for 9 provinces for 278 municipalities that we would like to reach. So the service providers there had been grouped to deal with the cost implications. That amounts to 31 million per year. for 278 municipalities, and we can do the sums that it's not an inordinate amount of money if you look at 278 municipalities and the geographical spread of it, we would think. Does it work? The technical support, we will certainly monitor that very closely to see. We should have a case of before and after. So we are aware that it has started in six provinces last year, and the last group, last service provider had an appointment for the three other provinces now, and we will keep close eyes on that and report back to this committee to see whether that has actually had the desired impact. The incentive grant, to cover that group of questions with regard to the incentive grant. The initial incentive grant, as members would recall, was a planning-based grant. Municipalities had to, according to the Division of Revenue Act, they had to show us that they have reported on the EPWP, they've implemented some programs. Based on analysis of that data in the previous year, a municipality would qualify or not qualify. The concern raised by members then was that obviously it discriminates against the low-capacity municipalities, and therefore they can't. What we see as low-hanging fruit was still too high for low-capacity municipality to access the grant. And there's one of the reasons for that is linked to the poor reporting, because they didn't have the ability to report to that. So the grant was then changed based on what this committee and different other committees, feedback that they gave us, was then changed from a planning-based grant to a hybrid model where that consists of both planning and performance and planning, So we have then said it will be moved in three tranches, 40% upfront to enable municipalities to actually implement those projects, and the grants were linked to specific projects that we monitor, saying if you receive X amount, we want to see your project list, what will you be doing with that money, you get the 40% for that, and then you get it in further tranche of 30% each to cover the 100%. And we will only see, the year has ended obviously in March, so we are seeing the effect of that now. We know that 100% had been disbursed, and we know that the average across all the sectors is more than 75% had been spent on those projects, and we are still getting the data in to see whether obviously we would like the entire amount to have been spent on those projects. So that's another instance where we were closely monitored, because one thing for us to say, it had been disbursed, but it is a different matter, of course, and we have to report back to Parliament saying, yes, it had been used for the purpose that it was intended for. And then we will look at the impact of that. In cases like with regard to the question of payment on time or not on time, the Department of Public Works is the coordinating department. We have a particular role to play, and we are often far removed from the coal face of implementation. But, Chair and Honourable Members, whenever we are made aware, either through our own site visits or through feedback that we get, with that payment, all issues related to projects, whether it be payment, poor implementation, poor quality of work, whatever, we intervene immediately. As I said, we have a very structured approach through our own site visits, and I'm aware, obviously, Parliament conducts its own site visits also, and this is linked to our data quality project. We have a specific section dealing with the integrity of the data, and and when we get reports, we can actually say, we can report indeed how many municipalities, how many implementing bodies are doing well in terms of reporting, and who are the, so to speak, in inverted commas, habitual offenders, so that we can know where to intervene, although in terms of poor performers. Yes, I removed the inverted commas on the advice of my Deputy Minister. Yeah, so where we have identified those who don't do well in terms of reporting, we actually, because with regard to the data capture, as Chair and Honourable Members, we, as Department of Public Works, ideally would like to see data capturing and monitoring and evaluation and reporting to be institutionalized across all three spheres of government. So that, because what we are doing is basically, even though we have institutionalized from outside, but it should have been a short to medium term intervention in the absence of proper reporting. Because what we cannot do is, we cannot be in a situation where things happen and it's not reported. So we would like to get that on our database. So that is a very structured approach from our side, but we are mindful of the fact that the end result ideally would be proper institutionalization of those functions in implementing bodies, be it municipalities or provincial departments or whatever. The policies in municipalities. Yes, we have, and this was one of the things that came out of the municipal summit also, that we will be working to agree or working towards assisting municipalities to have the EPWP approach adopted by their councils. And the reason for that was that we didn't want a stop-start process all the time. When you have an election cycle, things grind to a halt completely and we cannot run, and it impacts enormously in terms of performance with regard to implementation and obviously work opportunities created. So we have said, and we have moved a long way. From the top of my head, I don't have the figures with me, but we will certainly respond and give you the full picture with regard to how many municipalities actually have adopted policies already and how many have not. I apologize for not having it available right now. Pardon me. The eligibility requirements by municipalities, it is specified through the Division of Revenue Act. So we assist municipalities so that they will be able to access the grant. But in cases where the first 40% had been moved and implementing bodies don't comply to the DOR requirements, we write them letters as per DOR to tell them that we have to withhold the next 30% until such time as they report before it can be moved, and that is guided by the Division of Revenue Act. That's part of the way that so we don't want funding to appear to disappear into a bottomless pit. So that's our approach with regard to we adhere strictly to the DORA requirements, also in terms of non-compliance. The project visited here, I've reflected what has happened maybe across the infrastructure sector and the environment culture sector, but just to tell members that because the social sector grant works slightly different from this grant, but we do visit projects also. Our site visits cover the entire EPWP spectrum. So apologies if it reflects, if we give you a different idea here, but we do have all the evidence to substantiate that. The Department of Public Works, as the co-written department, I'm asking the question with regard to relationship with other departments. We work closely with other departments. Members obviously will appreciate that the mandate to deliver on what health has to do, address with health, social development, with other departments. But as co-ordinating department for the EPWP, we work very closely with them to make sure that those programs that have been identified as the EPWP programs, that we work closely with them on those. So without obviously stepping onto into the mandates of the other departments, they have to. But our particular interest, that's why we sign MOUs and agreements with them, so they deliver what they have to deliver with regard to the EPWP, even as they execute their mandates. The reorientation workshops that will be ongoing, because we have seen that the fact that we have maybe one or even a series of workshops in an area does not mean that it had been properly institutionalized. So we see the provision of the orientation workshops and training as an ongoing program. And that's why we will report almost like every year that it is taking place as part of our technical assistance to implementing not only municipalities but also other public bodies. That covers... The poor reporting one I've spoken about already, we assist those who can. I've covered the cost for technical support. I've also covered the site visits. the upscaling of the EPWP, I don't remember, has linked it to service delivery. Obviously, the approach for the Expanded Public Works program is that departments and other all implementing bodies, they have to deliver on their mandates. And as they deliver on their mandates, they have to see to that they also make contribution to one of government's key priorities, which is, would be job creation in the case of the outcome four, the decent work outcome. So the fast tracking or the upscaling of the EPWP is an attempt to intensify service delivery and at the same time create more work opportunities. Duration of EPWP work opportunities, we would ideally like each and every EPWP project to be 100 days of duration at least, which means that would be 2 days per week. If a year consists of 52 weeks, it would be roughly 100 days, 50 times 2 would be 100 days per year. We have seen the range of EPWP projects of duration would be often from 6 months to 2 years and beyond. And members will be aware that the special ministerial determination initially limited EPWP participation to 2 years. But now that the top end had been removed, because the reality is an economic situation they're in, poor people start of work, therefore we can't keep them out of the program and have been removed. So often it would be longer in duration, and we monitor participation over an annual basis, obviously. And there are projects that would be short in duration, but that is because it is project linked. That particular project runs for maybe 4 months, and therefore it is then, and that is where that is prioritized by the implementing departments or by municipality. That's the nature of that particular one. Designated groups, we obviously target women, youth and people with disabilities, and yes, we have overperformed in terms of participation of women and youth, but we have underperformed in terms of the participation of people with disabilities. That is a fact. We have since the EPWP started, we have never been able to achieve, initially I think the target was like I think 1%. We couldn't achieve the 1%. We have pushed it up 2%. It's still, we are not there as yet, and we have put in place measures to where it's appropriate to increase participation of people with disabilities, because we know that some of the type of projects would not lend itself to, because of safety issues and a whole range of other issues, that where people with disabilities can participate, but we also feel that implementing bodies often, they don't apply themselves strongly enough to make sure that people with disabilities can participate.
Mr. Anderson, on yes. That point, the issue was people with disability don't want to join EPWP because they are getting grants. Should they be employed in EPWP, they will lose their grants. That was the issue, that we need to look into that, because the grant that they are getting, it's not a big C, it's not enough. And also, if they come to EPWP, they will lose their grants. So we said you must look into that issue.
Thank you for that, Madam Chair. We are talking to the Department of Social Development. There's a means test, which means if you the EPWP wage rates are set low enough, in our view, so that participation in the EPWP should not disqualify technically a person who's receiving a grant. And we are engaging with the social sector departments around this very matter, saying, if you look at the means test and how it's been constructed, that the nature of these kind of programs is often to augment existing household income. So we would be defeating, that's our view, if I may express it, we'd be defeating the purpose of, in terms of social protection and the broader, if we would say people cannot participate, people with disabilities, because they get a grant in that. And we have the view that the wage rates are still low enough that it will not actually push them above a certain limit. But we will give the Parliament feedback with regard to that also.
The DDG Henderson's absolutely right on both accounts, namely that a key objective of the EPWP program is to augment household income for many households that are really battling with very low household income. And second, in my view, he's absolutely right about the levels. So they shouldn't be disqualified in terms of both accessing grants as well as participation and thing. But a third factor to add is the EPWP is also about income support, yes, but also about the dignity of being able to participate in work, you know, because so many of us, not just the disabled, people with disabilities, but so many South Africans are excluded from ever having work experience, collective working in a social situation collectively with others. It's a huge problem of the alienation of young people and so on, massive problem. And it's a problem that obviously affects people living with disabilities as well, and therefore we need to understand about income and income support, but also the dignity and experience and possibility of experiencing work in a collective situation.
I think we have noted the issue raised, Chair. It's a question of aligning all various departments' policies and therefore strengthening ours so that the objectives that are EPW specific are then achieved through determinations that are within the EPW policy. We're trying to now solidify even the policy itself so that it becomes easy and we can be able to guide other spheres and implementers around the EPW policy. And I think this issue will then need to be defined within the EPW policy as against the other, and then we align it with the rest of the other programs.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and TG, for the contributions. Just to ensure members, I've actually in front of me a list of the way that we engage with municipalities with regard to the inclusion of people with disabilities, and it's a whole roadshow, I think, across the Free State, Northwest, across all provinces, as a matter of fact, from the 13th of June to the 17th of October, to intensify our approach with on this matter, just I have it available here.
Also to add on what the explanation of the Deputy Director and the Deputy Minister, I think it will be proper because we know that the people with disability does have their own organizations. When you deal with the issue of road shows, I think it will be proper also to go to them and explain the policy and the process of EPWP so that they can understand. Because if it is not the matter of the grant that they are getting that prevent them to be part of the EPWP, I think the other challenge may be that maybe they are not aware about it. Because when you go to municipalities, yes, the municipality will advertise and then they won't apply. But if you make them part of the process, they contribute, they input on it, they understand it, because the objective of the government is the fact that we must not only have the people that will be getting grant and not doing anything. And it's not them, you know, they are doing a lot of work, the people with disability. The only problem may not that they are not aware about this particular problem. In your roadshows, please try and identify the organizations for them so that they can be part. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. That will be, yes, we will definitely include that. With regard to the monitoring that stamp out corruption, well, we certainly hope so. Whenever we become aware of any untoward practices, be it around payment to service providers, as I've said, even though we as coordinating department, part of our coordination role is to engage in cases where anything would go wrong that can compromise the program potentially. So certainly we would like to believe that our monitoring efforts, certainly it plays a role, but whenever we become a member and if we get feedback from Parliament, certainly we will follow up on those issues, but we don't see this as an ad hoc approach. We have a very structured way of dealing with it. The quality of work, it is a big thing for the labor-based approach. It's important for us to build confidence in the labor-intensive approach. Labor-intensive approach does not mean low-quality work, low-quality assets to be created. As a matter of fact, where low-volume roll is built or bottles are filled, it means it is filled according to the accepted standards that work should have been done. So we are not suggesting that there would not be anything like that, but we do follow up on that also as part of our site visits. We would like to see the assets created, services delivered, and so we do follow up on that. Yes, and low-volume roads are certainly obviously more needed in rural areas, because by definition, actually, it would be mostly in rural areas. And we, through the road maintenance program of National Department of Transport, it's driven by the National Department of Transport with the provincial roads departments, in the course of this week, I think Thursday or Friday, there's a road maintenance, road meeting again, and where all these things are discussed. And if I can just touch on the other issue that was raised with regard to the role of AGRIMA. AGRIMA is obviously look at the standards of introduction of new technology and innovations. But what I would like to link to that is that through this, we always communicate at these meetings all kinds of innovations that we become aware of. I just give members an idea. Through the CSIR has developed what's called the ultra-thin concrete that we think implementing bodies can use very successfully. With regard to road maintenance in general, the problem often is that often roads should not be, the potholes should not be filled many a time or fixed. Some roads need to be rebuilt. And that is the reason why, when it's fixed, the other road structure is so weak already that you just get another pothole next door. But that's the nature of the status of the roads and the Department of Transport and the road provincial roads. They have a program to deal with the aging roads, and that's why members often see where potholes are filled. It is sometimes because of quality, but often because of the age of these roads. The question of reservoirs, toilets, I suppose it falls slightly outside the ambit of the Department of Public Works, but we certainly engage with implement bodies to see to that they prioritize whatever communities have prioritized, and that is the perhaps important in terms of our approach also. Our database, obviously, we are mindful of the integrity of our data, and that's why we don't want any double counting. There are cases, honourable member, where, like in the community work program, where some workers are rotated, that is determined by what the community wants, how they participate in many projects, but that is not like pervasive right through the program, but certainly at certain sub-program levels. The funding for the EPLOP, we focus in this presentation on municipalities, but the EPLOP, works across three spheres of government, which means provincial departments implement the EPLOP also, national departments, even though they are mainly policy departments. In some cases, some programs are driven from national, such as through the public environmental affairs, the environment culture programs, working for water, working on the coast, working wetlands, etc. What we have presented here today is not what we intend doing. These things are happening already, honourable members. But we take the point that obviously we would like to see a case of before and after, so we will see the end results as we monitored over time. So it's not a proposal, it is actually happening already. The cost of projects differs obviously because of geographical structure across provinces. We can't really comment on that. In environmental culture, we have soil erosion programs, land care programs. yes, it's discovered. We're not suggesting it can, that more can be done, but it is included already in the environment culture sector. We have limited SMMEs and skills transfer. Also, we have had cases where small co-ops have been supported. And I'm close to the end, Honourable Chair. And the rest were comments by, thank you, but our DM made some comments, but we'll be happy to elaborate more should there be a need. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. We're running behind time. Can we move to the next item? Yeah, it was an expanded one. I would like us to deal with Honourable Wayamabila. We've got remaining with two items to be presented.
Can I make a proposal, Chair? Yes. I think we're asking these questions to get information. So I will request that the questions which were not responded to be put in writing.
I think a lot of questions, for instance, on the ground, there were a lot of repeated questions on the ground. So what he did, he summarized, he clapped together other questions. I don't know, maybe. Mr. Anderson, can you, with due apology, when you are back in the office, to put all those questions, the responses on paper, all of them, and send them to the secretary. Thank you very much. Can we move to a briefing on the accessibility program? Mr. Peter? Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, for attending. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair Basco, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to the members, Director General, and all the other colleagues present. My presentation this morning is to report to you on the Department's Targeted Accessibility Program, which prioritizes improving accessibility to government buildings for people with disabilities. The presentation outline will cover the purpose, a bit on the background and how we got here, the legislative framework that governs these projects and the requirements for them, trends on the project and progress, budgetary trends, departmental and intersectoral collaboration, a word on the constraints we are facing on these projects and what we're going to do to address those moving forward. What I would like to indicate is that the purpose, as indicated, is to report on these projects, but to indicate it's specifically the Public Works targeted program on accessibility insofar as state-owned accommodation under the custodianship of Public Works is concerned. An introduction to this program would be that